I want to read two verses of scripture, although I might read a little more. First I want to read is in the book of the Psalms, and it's on page 778 in the Bible that I'm reading, and it's in Psalm 130 says, it's a song of degrees, and I want to read verse 3. If thou, Jah or Jehovah, shouldst mark iniquities, Lord, who shall stand? Then I want to read from the Epistle to the Romans, the verse we've already referred to today, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and it's on page 1357. 1357, Romans 8 verse 1. There is then now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. We'll read on verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. It's a massive contrast between these two verses, dear friend. The first comes as a warning, but it comes as a warning from a God who loves you. Because it goes on in the verse after I read, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God knows your sins. God knows about your sin. God knows your sins. Question is, dear friend, do you know about your sins? Do you even know that you are a sinner before a holy and righteous God? It is a fact. I can say that, even though I don't know everyone in this room, because the scripture tells me so. Tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes every single person that sits in this room tonight. But more than that, dear friends, it includes every single person on the face of the earth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if Jehovah should mark iniquities, where would any one of us stand? You know, David had to come to it when he had sinned so grievously that it was against God that he has sinned. It's not so much the sin that you've done against another man or even against the law. That, of course, is sin. Of course it is. But, dear friend, Jehovah is the one whose sin is primarily against. And if Jehovah should mark iniquities, where will any one of us stand? But if, friend, the gospel goes out because we have a God of love to proclaim. A God who loves your soul and a God who does not want you to die in your sins, you know. Yes, that's why the gospel goes out. It goes out that it might awaken you, firstly, to your perilous state before a holy and righteous God. But also it goes out to present that very God as a Saviour God. That's why this other verse could go on. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God desires your forgiveness. You might well say to me, well, if God desires my forgiveness, why doesn't he just forgive me then? Forget out about all my sins. Well, that's what God wants to do. But he is also a righteous God. And God cannot just wipe the slate clean without the penalty of your sins having been paid. But I can tell you tonight, dear friends, for any who will put their faith and trust in him, the price and penalty of your sin has been paid. And it has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. That's why the gospel goes out. Goes out to draw you to him, you know. It doesn't go out to draw you to any preacher or any creed or any nice way of life exactly. It goes out to draw you to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who came from glory's highest height, who stooped down into manhood, stooped down into the earth and walked here amongst men. The one who, when he was amongst men, went around healing all who were oppressed of the devil, who had diseases, and who, it says, he gave the blind sight, made the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear. Even raise the dead, you know. Yes, that's what Jesus did when he was here. But he walked here amongst men, and many people didn't even recognize who he was. Many didn't recognize the glory of that person. A few did, but many didn't. The most, I would suggest, didn't. Even the religious leaders didn't recognize him and didn't want to know. So, dear friend, I'm not here tonight to preach religion either. I'm here to preach about a person. It's a person that you need to come to. It's a person that you need to have to do with tonight, dear friend. That hymn we sung, come unto me. Come unto me and I will give you rest. You might say, oh well, I'm perfectly restful. I've not got many worries. Well, it might be a very benevolent situation to be in. But you know, when you think of your sinful state before God, if you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, dear friend, you are in a perilous situation tonight. I don't say that in any way to strike terror or fear into you. I say it as a warning. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Yes, God needs to be feared. Tells us in Proverbs that the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. Many people think they are granted with much wisdom these days. But you know, it says the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear Jehovah, dear friend, your wisdom is absolutely worthless, you know. You might think that you can sort many things out, but the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. With that fear comes a recognition of our sinful state before him and the need to have to do with him about our sins. God presents his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who has met that condition. Yes, come in all your sin through Jesus' blood, the vile may enter in. That's a wonderful thing that is, you know. You may not think you're a very bad sinner, but the vile can enter in through Jesus' blood. So there's room for every single one of us, you know. That's a lovely thought to have, isn't it? Lord Jesus came, as I said earlier, and walked amongst men, but he went to Calvary's cross. So he stooped down, as we were reminded this afternoon. He stooped down into the earth, but then he stooped down yet again into death, and that the death of the cross. Wicked hands put him there. Wicked hands took nails and put them through his hands and his feet. Those hands that had been used in service, those feet which had walked in the purpose and pleasure of God, but they were nailed to the cross of wood. And he was lifted up amid two robbers, two persons who deserved the death they were getting. And Jesus was in the middle of them. Even the judge who condemned him to that death said, I find in him no guilt whatever. So why was he there? He was there, dear friend, because I'm a sinner. He was there, dear friend, because you're a sinner. He was there to pay the price of our sin before a holy and righteous God. So that God could come out not only in mercy tonight, but he could come out in righteousness, knowing that the righteous claims of judgment had been met, been poured out upon the head of my Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's why he hung there, dear friend. That's why he had to die. He had done nothing worthy of death himself. In fact, Scripture says, in him sin was not. The just one for the unjust died. Then he was taken down from that cross after he had died. Or at least before that, a soldier came and pierced his side, and out flowed blood and water. Precious blood of Jesus was shed that you and I might be clean, dear friend. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what God said to the children of Israel in the olden days. That was what his purposes were. But you know, his purpose is the same towards you and towards me tonight. God gave them the law to follow, but they couldn't do it. To us, dear friend, we simply have to come to Jesus and put our faith and trust in his finished work. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you need to do to have God's blessing, you know. God desires that you might come into this blessing. He desires that you might walk freely before him. In the knowledge, yes, of your sin, but in the knowledge that your sins have been forgiven. That they have been washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. God desires that you might know something of the no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. That's what God's purpose is for you, dear friend. It's not that you should mither around in the guilt of your sin. Of course, you need to have some understanding of how awful sin is before God. But, dear friend, God wants you to come to the knowledge of the Saviour. The knowledge of the one who has taken the penalty of your sins away from the sight of God forever. That's what is in God's purpose. And that you might walk in newness of life. You can do that, dear friend, by trusting in the precious shed blood of Jesus. Recognise that you're a sinner before God. But recognise that that precious shed blood was shed on your account. Through Jesus' blood, the vile may enter in, may come to God, who knows their guilt and need, assured the blood was shed for them indeed. Do you know, dear friend, that the blood was shed for you? Shed for you. You might say, oh, well, it was shed for all these other sinners. Yes, but do you know it was shed for you, dear friend? That is what the gospel goes out tonight. That you might come to a knowledge of the truth. That you might come to the knowledge of the Saviour. Because he was taken down from that cross and put into the tomb. But did he remain there? No, he didn't remain there. Death had no claim upon him. It could not hold him. Third day, the Lord Jesus Christ arose. He arose from amongst the dead by the glory of the Father. Now living and seated at his right hand. And you can have some knowledge of the one who lives in God's presence now. Knowing that in a coming day, you will be taken to be with him. Are you waiting for that, dear friend? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting that the world might get a better place? Things might get a bit easier? Particularly after these last 2 years, there's a lot of people who are hoping that things are going to get better. I don't say this in any way glibly, but I don't suppose people of Ukraine have got any thoughts like that, have they? Dear friend, there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come to call his own to be with himself. But there's also coming a day after that when the Lord Jesus Christ will have rightful sway upon this earth. He will come here and put all his enemies as a footstool under his feet. He will come, the righteous judge. In that day, you know, the earth will be just and perfect. But dear friend, I'm looking for that call when the Lord Jesus comes to take his own to be with himself. What is it for you? What is it for you, dear friend? Do you know the living Saviour? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Have you recognised that that blood was shed on your account? And have you accepted him as your Saviour? Knowing that you'll be called up to be with him in the air when he comes to take his own to be with himself. I commend to you, dear friend, the Saviour. The Saviour of God's providing. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. What do you fear, dear friend? Do you fear death? Do you fear sin? Do you fear the consequences of sin? Or are you putting your whole faith and trust in one who lives in God's presence, who's alive today, you know? Back in the 1970s, you know, we used to get little badges from the Christian bookshop, and one of them said, Jesus is alive today. And you could put it on your lapel. There was one young woman who was wearing one of those on the tube in London. And the Christian asked her, he said, tell me, my dear, how do you know that Jesus is alive today? And her answer was, I spoke to him this morning. Lovely thing to know someone who lives in God's presence, who has put aside once and for all the question of your sin. Wonderful thing to know him as a living person, one who has died, but one who yet lives. I commend him to you, dear friend, for his name's sake.